The message that I want to share today is going to be from Romans 12:10. It's something that's been on my heart as I've been studying through the book of Romans, and it's from verse 12:10. So do we have it up on the screen, Calvin? So let's read it all together. It's very short. It says, let's go, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So I titled it Love and Honor. You know, when we think of the word love, it is so complex. It brings up so many different emotions, ranging from like affection for a family member, like, Mom, I love you. Or pleasure, like, oh, I love this food, or I love this song. We even have a special holiday that celebrates love in the United States, right? And we know all what that is. Yeah, Valentine's Day. And I have to be very honest with you. Of any of the holidays, that is the most stressful holiday for me. I'd rather cook on Thanksgiving or go out and buy gifts for my 20 nieces and nephew, but Valentine's Day is the most stressful for me because it's a day that I have to like show my affection to my wife, and I want to make sure that I do it right, you know? In my first 10 years of marriages, I stress over it. Oh, should I buy her some flowers or book a restaurant to a nice place, you know? And it never turns out right because if you go to a restaurant that day, it's always so crowded. And with the flowers, you know, when you buy flowers or roses that day, it's jacked up prices, right? And plus, I have allergies, so I have to sniffle this throughout the whole day. But I think this year I finally got it right. I asked her, what is it that you want? And she said, just keep it simple. So I went out, got her a nice card, and I know that she loves peanut M&Ms, and I went to Target, bought her the biggest bag, and she loves, I'm not sure if you know, but at Target they sell those Petrich Farm coconut square cakes in the frozen sections. And it was on sale for $2.99. Brought it home, put it on the bed, and you know what? She said to me, that was the best gift ever. So for guys, you know, don't stress out about it. Just ask your wife, ask your loved one, and keep it simple. You know, so that's what I've learned. So, you know, love, we can really define it in four different ways. The Greeks have it defined it four different ways. C.S. Lewis wrote a book about it, the four loves. So I'm just going to go through it briefly. I'm not going to delve into it because I don't think I'm an expert with that. But I just want to do it in the context of what we're sharing today. So the first one is called storge. It's called familiarity love. It's like love for a family. It's like love between a parent and a child. The second love is the love of, we know as eros. It is what? Romantic love, love, you know, sexual love in that way. The third love is a friendship love, like philia, when we have a city name after that, right? Called Philadelphia. And the last love there is called divine love. Self-giving love is called agape love. So in the context of this message today, why does Paul say to love one another? So if we were to reach back in the book of Romans, Paul was writing this to the Romans at that time, and that time was about 70 AD. There were many people at that time were coming to the Lord. There were Jews and Gentiles. There were pagan worshipers. There were people from all different places, but now they're coming together and as a body of Christ, and Paul is saying that you got to love one another. Love one another. It doesn't mean that, you know, you shouldn't love people outside, but he's instructing them first, how do you love one another? Because you're so diverse, you're so different. You know, in the Bible, it does says that we need to keep the greatest commandment, right? It's to love God, but also to love our neighbors. But in the context of what Paul is writing here, he's telling them, you got to love one another. And how do you love one another? Mother? Paul was saying that you want to love with each other with brotherly affection. And this is kind of like beyond strangers, you know, like it's beyond walking down the hallway and just say hi and bye, but really love one another deeply, you know, with a strong bond. It's just not superficial. Make it real. And I think that love, that I can best define it as, you know, like between a brother. I'm from a family of five brothers, and if I was bullied, my two brothers would show up at school and help confront the bully, you know, or to help me out in that situation. Or the kind of love where if someone that you know that is sick or someone is out, that you want to make sure that you're available, that you want to make sure that you're there to just help them out, just like you, Linda, we were there to help you out because you asked that. You know, or just to, if someone is sick or have a family member that's dying, that we can come along and really not just say anything, but just to be available, just to cry with, just to shoulder that burden with. So that's what Paul is saying right over here, is that love one another with brotherly affection. Make it real, make it deep. And I think that's the same kind of message that we can use today as a church as well. But sometimes, you know, love is not so easy, right? Within a family, a context of brotherly love, there's always going to be squabbles. There's always going to be misunderstanding. And I think the root of that sometimes is some hurt that we may have, whether directly or indirectly. But we need to make sure that we put love above all, and that we need to forgive those instances. We need to forgive because that's what God would want. You know, if we were saying, yes, I love God, but I really don't like that person, then we really are lying to ourselves, because the scripture does says that in 1 John 4:20, it says, whoever claims to love God but yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. So what God is saying is that we want to make sure that we want to put love above all, because it covers a multitude of sins that we have. And as brothers and sisters within the church, we can learn how to love each other in that way. And, you know, throughout the whole New Testament, Jesus commands us to do that, right? Whether he says it in Matthew to forgive 70 or 70 times 7, or in Luke where it says to forgive at least 7 times. I don't think, for me, when I look at that scripture, I just sense that we just have to do it. Let's not count the numbers, but just do it. Just if there's any unforgiveness, we just need to extend that out. And extend that out until the hurt or this thing is gone and the relation is restored. Amen. The second part of this statement here says, like, to outdo one another in showing honor. What is honor? What is honor? Honor is treating them with your deeds and your words that is worthy of your service. Putting another way, it's meaning to treat other better than what you think or feel that they should be treated. And what does outdo here means? It's not a competition or trying to receive an award or trying to receive an acknowledgement. But to me, it just seems like just to go out of your way, just to go out of your way, just do the honoring more than what you think that the person needs. So you want to cultivate a love of loving others. But in the scriptures, it also says that to be aware of one kind of honoring is to be aware of honoring one kind of ethnic or race, or to be honoring one kind of social economic class, educational level, sex, male or female. Also, to be aware of honoring an age, someone's older or younger, or just by someone of the way that they look. Because God gets really angry at that. He sees this kind of, he does not like this kind of honoring, dishonoring. Is there, can you go into verse James 2, 1 to 6, it says like this. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention, that means to show honor, to the one who wears the fine clothing, and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. So in another way of putting it, is just let us prefer to honor more than to feel honored. Let's put the other before ourselves and to just really be aware of being partial. Because God does not like that. So when I read these verses, it seems very hard to swallow, but sometimes it's important for us to remember these verses. First, the most important point is that this points to the amazing gospel. God demonstrated how much he loved us. God demonstrated his affection for humanity and for all those who call on the Lord as Savior. You know, this is an important time for us to be prepared to, because Easter's coming up, and we want to make sure that we remember what the Lord has done. God restored our broken relationship with him because of sin by sending his son down for us. In Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us by rescuing us from sin and death. So when we put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, we can become children of God now. We are no longer separated from him. One of the most beautiful things that I also found out is that God also not only love us, but he also demonstrated how he honored us. He honored us, you know, like when the story of the, when before the night of the Last Supper, he went and he told his disciples and he washed the feet of his disciples. He humbled himself and he honored all the disciples there. And he says, the scripture says in John 3:4-5 says, so he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel and tied it around him. So here is Jesus, Son of God, full of authority, full of grace. He humbled himself and he went to the disciples. He honored them by washing their feet. And in those times, we realized that the feet of everyone who walked were in sandals, right? They were always dirty. And as someone who entered the home, it was supposed to be the servant or the house owner who would come out and wash the feet of the disciples, I mean, the people. In this situation, Jesus took that upon himself, that he honored his disciples. In some way, symbolically, he honored human man, and that he went down and washed the feet of the disciples. But you know, in Revelation, not in Revelation, but there's also another verse that really struck me when how Jesus demonstrated his honor for us. In Luke 12:37, it says this, that as the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Luke 12:37 says this, "The servant who are ready and waiting for his return, he will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they seat and eat." So there's this promise on the one hand that Jesus loved us and he died for us on the cross. And he also honored us by washing the feet of disciples. But then there is this greater promise of that when he's coming again, here's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, full with authority, full with grace and honor, and that he will separate between those who love him and those who not. But then those who do love him, he's going to also put on an apron and serve them. So when I saw that picture of the two distinctions, it just broke me. Here it is. This gives us another aspect of God's great love. You know, it's like, oh yes, he loves us in this way, but yet he loves us and he demonstrated by honoring those who serve him, those who serve him faithfully. He doesn't care what we look like. He doesn't care what we may think, but in Christ, he sees us as perfect and that he will serve us. And that's another dimension of love that we need to think about, that he's ready to honor us. Maybe we don't know how to honor it ourselves, but yet he's ready to do that. Second, by loving and honoring, it really confirms and affirms the faith of the body of Christ. When we do that one, when anybody who comes into the church, when they feel love and they feel honored, it really affirms and confirms that their faith in Christ. And I think that's kind of the beauty of the new church here, the new church plant over here. You know, back in Rome at that time, there were over 1 million people from different culture and different backgrounds, and they were all coming together and loving the Lord. I don't think that picture is any different from today in the Bay Area. We have so many diversity of people from every different background, but yet we're able to come together and love one another and serving one another. And then that's the beauty of having this church here. I know that at times, if you don't come to church sometimes, you may get a phone call or an email from one of us. It's not that we want to bother you, but we just want to make sure that you feel cared for and loved for. That we want to extend out to know what if there's anything that we can do for you, if there's anything we can pray for you. So I know that Linda, you haven't been here for a few times. So just seeing you back, just bring us so much joy, you know, bring us joy that you're fine and that your husband is fine, you know, and that we'll continue to pray for you in that regards. I think I went through that pretty fast, honey. With this passage, I just want to remind us that, you know, sometimes we feel, or at least for me, when I think of the word love, I just see it so differently in different dimension. But when God adds the word to this one, love and honor, it just brings another different level of beauty, that God honors all of us. He has no partiality. You know, even in Deuteronomy says that he is not a God of partiality. He loves all of us. And that we can come the way that we are, that we have a place at his table, just like what the verse in Luke 12:37 says, that he will seat them down and put on an apron and to serve them out of his own love for them and how he wants to recognize them. So I would like to ask the worship team to come up to play the last song here. So as the worship team is playing this song, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you how much God loves you and to remind your soul and your heart how much God has honored you in the ways that he's shown you in your life. Secondly, also ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, like, today or throughout this whole week, who you can love more, who you can honor more in your life. Lord, we know how much you love us, Lord. There is no doubt anymore, Lord. You love us by sending your Son for us. Lord, you love us by honoring us, Lord, that you set a table for us, and that you said, Lord, those who are faithful, that you will come and serve them and honor them, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for this promise now. We thank you for the promise that is to come, Lord. So, Father, let us not keep it to ourselves within the four confines of this church, Lord. But let us carry your love, carry the honor that you've given us, Lord, into the workplaces of wherever we are, into our neighborhoods, and especially into our homes, Lord, to our brothers and sisters or parents who do not know you yet, Lord. So, Father, we want to continue to honor you. We want to continue to love you by walking with you every day, Lord, to keep your commandments deep within our hearts, Lord, and really telling our heart and soul that it is well because you love us, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for your precious word today. We thank you, Lord, for affirming us, Lord, that you honor us and love us more than that we can ever think of ourselves. Lord, let us be that shining light for you within a community that you have placed us, Lord. So, Lord, as we go forward, we ask that your presence continue to be with us. Amen. Amen.